Hello, No BS parents of children under 18. I am Coach Christy here with you and Yesenia. Coach Yesenia is in the chat. I am just going to make sure, I'm going to pull you up in just a second, Yesenia. I'm just going to make sure that all of my stuff is correct and set up my speakers. You know, it was hilarious. I was trying to come on Zoom early to make sure all of this stuff was done. And then as soon as I clicked on start the call, Zoom up. Dated. And so I had to wait. Okay. Let's see. I am so excited, you guys. This is the first subgroup call for us, the first coaching call for only our subgroup. So I am super excited. All right. Let's see. I got one person. Coach Yesenia has raised her hand. I will promote her to panelist. Okay. So today, let's see. What are we going to talk about? Today is open coaching for if you are in the subgroup or if you are a parent, even if you're not in the subgroup, but if you are a parent who has children under the age of 18, then this is your chance for open coaching with me. I am Coach Christy. I have been with No BS for about, I think it'll be 4 years in September. So I've been around a long time. I have been a coach with No BS for since about January. So I do a lot of private coaching. If you write in to ask coaches, then chances are it could be me answering your question or any one of the other amazing coaches that we have. I also try to be active in the parents with kids under 18 subgroup. And I also am in the subgroup of parents that have kids with unique needs. So if you didn't know about that subgroup, you can go to the website and go under Facebook groups and you can join that one as well. If you are a parent that has a child with unique needs, it's a fantastic subgroup. So that's a little bit about me. So here's how today works. We are just going to let people who want to get coached today on anything under the sun, could be weight loss, relationships, parenting, doing this journey, being a parent and the challenges that come with that. This is your chance. This is your chance. All you have to do is raise your hand. So as we are waiting for people to come in, I just kind of wanted to go through. I've sort of made a list of the top five reasons I have seen in my own coaching practice and just in Facebook and in No BS. Reasons it's hard to lose weight or do the No BS journey when you have kids. Oh, yes. Thank you. As Yesenia, I just saw you post. You can also ask questions in the Q&A. So if you have a question that you want me to answer live, but you don't want to get coached, you can pop it in the Q&A. I have that open as well, so I can see those questions. And if I don't get to that, Coach Yesenia will answer it. And you can also go to Ask Coaches if you ask at the very end of the call and we don't get an opportunity to answer that. You can always take it to Ask Coaches, which is on the website. Okay, so back to what I was talking about. Okay, so here are my top five reasons that I have found that losing weight and doing No BS is challenging for parents with kids. Okay, number one is time. A lot of my private clients and a lot of what I see on Facebook is I just don't have time. I've got kids that are in sports or I have young kids, things like that. Time. And the next reason, I'm going to tell you two at the same time, just because I think they go together. The second reason I know that parents have a hard time losing weight or doing the No BS journey when they have little kids is because they are perfectionists. Time and perfectionists go together. And let me tell you why. If you weren't busy trying to do all the things in No BS on the first day, your brain would be open to seeing options for you to figure out how to adapt No BS to your life, right? So when you say things like, I just don't have time, like this is a literal quote I took from Facebook. Following No BS and thought work is much harder when you have littles at home. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Making a plan. We all know that making a plan takes how much time? 2 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe. Taking that time for yourself every day, 5 minutes, sets yourself up for success, right? Here's where we get into trouble. When we think, well, yeah, but I have to do the courses and I have to do this and I have to do that. No, you don't. There's four basics, right? You can work through the No BS weight loss course at your own pace. There's no rush. You can do as much as you want to in any given day. We don't care if it takes you a whole year to get through no BS, right? You do it at your pace. You figure out how to take no BS and make it fit your life. Here's why we don't do that. Because every single diet we have ever done tells us what we need to be doing every day. Here's the rules. Tomorrow start showing up and doing all of them, right? That's not how no BS is. No BS is about you figuring out how to adapt all of the tools we give you to your life. We give you so many tools because everybody else is at different points in their life. We've got bottom line bitches. Now, this is where I would say, like, if you have young kids, this is might where a lot of you are. You all might be bottom line bitches. What does that mean? That means you do the four basics. Right? That means you maybe fill out the food part of your planner, but you don't answer any of the questions. Or maybe you answer two of the questions that have a lot of value to you, right? So time and perfectionist, right? If we can let go of being a perfectionist and doing all the things, then we can have time. Because whatever time you have in your life to devote to no BS, that's enough. Okay? That's enough. Okay. So I'm seeing some things. Yes, Coach Yesenia, can you hear me? Okay. Is the sound okay? Because I'm seeing a couple people say they're having issues with the sound. No. Okay. I'm going to assume that it's all good. I can hear you, but is your mic on and selected? Yes. Okay. Time out. Let me check. Yes, it should be. Everything is selected. All right, Coach Yesenia, I'm going to put on my coaching microphone and we'll see if that makes a difference. I hope it doesn't mess anything up, y'all. Hold on just a second. Time out. I know we're on number three, the third reason. So, all right, let's see what happens here. All right, well, see, this is just how it goes, y'all. We pivot in like a motherfucker right now because my mic doesn't want to work either. All right, we'll just go with that. Yesenia says, it sounds like mic may not be connected, but sound overall is good. All right, we're just going to go with it. Let me know if it continues to be a problem. Okay, third reason. So time and perfectionism. Let go of the perfectionism and then time becomes available. Make sense? All right. Third reason that I see, most common, tired. I can relate to this, y'all. If you have little kids, if you have very active kids, you're tired. I get it. So how do we cope with tired? How do we cope with tired? Here's what I do. I set myself up for success by preempting the tired. What kinds of behaviors do you usually do when you're tired? You grab ass because you can't go to bed yet. You still have laundry to fold. You still have things to do. So set yourself up for success with all of the tools that Corinne gives us. Things like pre-portion out a snack, right? Tell your brain when rest is coming, right? So if you're in the moment and you're like, oh my God, I just want to go to bed, but I still have so much to do. Your brain is going to be looking for a solution to get some energy. But if you tell yourself, oh my gosh, I'm really tired. I want to go to bed. I still have X, Y, Z to do. But as soon as that is done, I get to go to bed. Your brain is going to be like, oh, okay, we have relief coming. It's down the pipe. I can see it. I don't need to eat to get energy right now. Okay. So tell your brain when that rest is coming. The other thing you can do is set yourself up for success in a way that if you know you're going to be eating dinner and you're going to be tired at dinner, don't serve yourself a giant portion. Give yourself the opportunity to just eat what's on your plate. And kind of taking a really good guess and saying, okay, I know I'm probably going to check out a little bit when I eat tonight just because I'm tired and I don't want to like work on being connected to my body and all of those kinds of things. So here's what I am going to do. I'm going to serve myself just a really small portion. So in the event that I do check out, I'll know that I'm likely not to overeat if I just eat what's on my plate. Okay. So give yourself a chance. Tell yourself when you're going to get a break. Serve yourself some smaller portions, pre-portion out snacks so you're not doing a lot of mindless eating. All right, number four, next reason is you want me time in the evening. I remember this. Y'all, when my kids were little, I would just be so excited when the bath was over and they went to bed. I was like, give me the clicker and whatever snack is going to last the entire show that I'm about to watch. That was my me time. That was just, it was just so lovely, right? So what we need to do when you're doing no BS is you just need to redefine what your definition of me time is. And I had to work on that. That was like a choice, right? I had to really look at what that big, because my drug of choice was microwave popcorn, because I could get the whole bag. I could eat them one kernel at a time and it would last the whole hour long show that I was watching. I really had to dive into the thoughts that were driving that desire for the popcorn. And that desire was my feeling that I wanted to get when I was eating it. And that was total like relaxation. I'm off the clock, right? So I just had to work on satisfying that need without the food. And you guys know what Corinne says on how to do that. The best way to figure out how to satisfy the need without the food is to take the food away and see what comes up. So that's what I did. I really went to work on taking that nighttime eating away and seeing what I needed to find relief in my life with. So that's number four. And the last one is, so I had a lot of self-induced pressure about my kids. Like I wanted them to get good grades and I wanted them to do good in school and I wanted them to be great athletes and I wanted them to be well-rounded and I wanted them to be nice to people and all of the things. I put a lot of pressure on myself about what other people thought about me because of my kids and the way they acted. So I ate to escape when my kids screwed up. So I ate to escape the worry about my kids. Like if my kids like did something at school and I got a note home from the parent, from the teacher, I would be so embarrassed. I would make it mean that I was a terrible parent, that they were going to be screwed up for the rest of their lives, that other people were going to find out about this, all of those kinds of things. And I ate to make me feel better about the type of parent that I was, the type of parent that I was making that behavior mean. So worry about my kids was the last reason that I discovered that I was using food to cope. So just to review, top five reasons I found that parents turn to food to soothe themselves because we're parents. Number one, I don't have enough time to do no BS. It's tied with number two is I'm a perfectionist. I think I have to perfectionist and I think I have to do all the things. Okay. Number three is I'm tired. I just don't have energy to put into this right now. Number four is I just need my me time in the evening. And that includes food. And number five is I just worry about my kids and how they're going to turn out and what other people are going to think about me. So if you can relate to that, yes, I see. Coach Yesenia says that happens to her too. Lauren says, yes, good, good, good. Also you guys in the chat, like Lauren, I think you're set to host and panelists. Make sure that your comments are, set to everyone so everybody can see what you're saying. Okay, let's see. Let's pull up our first contestant on Open Coaching with Christy for parents with kids under 18, Jennifer Lawler. Okay, I'm going to pull you up, Jennifer. And y'all, hey, I just want to say thank you guys all so much for coming to the call today. This is our very first one, and so it's sort of an experiment. We're going to see. I'm trying to pull you up right now, Jennifer. Let's see. We're going to see... how many people utilize this call? We're going to look for some feedback on this. So be sure you guys go into the Facebook group and let me know, you know, how you like the call and if we can, so we can get more of them. All right, Jennifer, I pulled you up. Are you coming? All right, who else? Let's see. Raise your hands, guys. This is Open Coaching. All you need to do is raise your hand. We can coach on anything. I pulled Jennifer up, but then she went away. Anybody else want Open Coaching? If not, guys, this would be like some kind of record, record coaching call. Christy just went on a rant about the top five reasons. Oh, here we go. All right. Let's see. I see Heather. I'm going to promote you, Heather. All right. Just looking to see. All right. I promoted Heather. Let's see. Heather is muted. I'm going to unmute her. There she is. Heather, can you hear me? I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Okay, let me...
It's not necessary for me to see you, but...
I'm just trying to get the right button. Okay. Sorry.
No, you're good, Mamacita. I freak out every time I do these coaching calls because I'm always sure that Zoom is going to be an ass and screw me up. And, you know, it's usually true. Like today, when I clicked on it, I was trying to be early and all prepared, and Zoom had to update right before. It's okay. While you're getting your camera turned on, just start chit-chatting. What do you want to coach on today?
I actually have a son who just turned 16 years old.
Okay.
And I have two sons, actually.
Okay.
One's 14, one's six, now 16.
Okay.
Sorry, this is going to be emotional.
It's okay.
He suffers from severe anxiety and depression.
Okay.
We have gone through a couple different medications where we've just gone through increasing dosage. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to do my camera. So I don't want to lose you.
Is your camera covered up with something?
No, I'm actually on my cell phone and it's telling me I need to give permissions.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Just keep chatting, hun. Don't worry about the camera. Just keep going.
Okay.
You're good.
So we've gone through a couple different medications.
Okay.
And we are still in school.
Okay. Are you there, Heather? I think I lost you. All right. I'm going to put you back. Oh, now she just raised her hand again. I think she actually disconnected. All right. I'm going to pull you back up, Heather. Hold on. Maybe she's in. I hope it's the same, Heather. Okay. All right. I'm promoting you back, Heather. Let's see what happens here. She's coming back, y'all. Oh, there you are.
I got the camera to work. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
So we've tried a couple different possibilities with school left. And in the past month and a half, I'm lucky if he's going to school one day a week.
Oh, Heather, I think our connection is terrible.
He's 6'0". Oh, can you hear me?
I think our connection is not very good. Can you move to a different place where you have better Wi-Fi?
Oh, no.
Yep. You know what? Marley is suggesting maybe turn your camera off and the Wi-Fi will be better.
Okay, trying to do that.
Okay. All right, keep going. Keep talking. Let's see how it is.
Okay, is it working now?
Yes. Okay, so I got it. So your son is, he's not been going to school.
Nope. Okay. Too big to physically enforce any of those type of things.
Okay.
You know, I've done all of the consequences for it. So cell phones, MP3 player, computer, any access to any electronics. Mm-hmm. And we actually were recommended to a program where he could go a couple hours a day for 6 weeks. It's DBT.
Okay.
So it's intensive psychological help.
Okay.
Getting a full evaluation, all kinds of other stuff. And it's voluntary. So he blatantly said, nope, it's too much effort.
And how old is he?
He just 17? Turned 16 last week.
Okay. So it's voluntary on his part. So he has to want to go.
Yes.
Okay.
So being in no BS, yeah. I've tried, Think Feel Do cycle.
What have you come up with when you've done a Think Feel Do? Like, what thought are you putting in the T line?
Oh, I've been suggesting to him, why don't you? Oh, okay. What are you thinking? Okay. What are you feeling? You know, trying to help him.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of, I don't want to say deadness, but there's just a lot of, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just ambiguity. So yes, this is stirring a lot of feelings for me because I obviously don't want him to fail life. I have a lot of feelings about being a mom. Mm.
Tell me one of those. Tell me one of those. When you say it's funny, you say, I have a lot of feelings about being a mom. Tell me what your thought is in this, in reference to your son and what he's going through right now. Tell me, give me one of your thoughts about your mothering.
What have I been not doing right to get to this point?
Okay. So answer that question for me.
I don't know.
Hmm. But your brain is telling you there must be something, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. So your thought is I did something wrong to make him this way.
Or choices that I've made.
Okay. Choices that I've made for like what?
During COVID, we moved to the top of a mountain.
Okay.
So that when I am working, him and his brother weren't just on their own in town to be able to just run around unmet. I didn't know.
Okay. So tell me what moving to the top of the mountain, how that decision was detrimental to your son. Tell me why that was a bad decision.
It isolated him socially.
Okay. Completely. So your thought right now is, and we're just, I mean, I know you have a bunch of them, right? But let's just log on to one because I love that you're teaching him the Think Feel Do cycle, right? And that's fantastic. Yeah. And let me just side note before we get into your own thought about this. He hears you. He's listening to you. You made the comment, it's like dead, right?
Yep.
He is listening to you. He's just not ready to use that skill yet.
Okay.
But when he is, he will have it ready to go.
Okay.
Okay. How does that feel to think about it like that?
Better.
Yeah.
That I'm able to teach and pass along knowledge, information.
Yes. Yes. And at that age and where he is right now, that is what he's ready to do. He's just ready to listen right now. He's not ready to do.
Okay.
Right. I think one of the hardest things for us as parents, and I will tell you this, when I used to teach middle school, one of the most challenging thoughts or beliefs or frustrations, I guess is a better word, for me to get over was I could do all the things. I could have very entertaining lessons. I could give out treats. I could have a great rapport with all of my students. I could do lots of things. I could make them do homework. I could do all those kinds of things. But the one thing that I could never do as a teacher was make them want to learn. That was not something I could instill. And I will tell you that as a parent, that also, I also had those thoughts. You can't make your child want to do something. You can make them do something, but we could never instill in someone else the want to do it. And that is typically what I see causes the most frustration, right? Like you said earlier, you know, I've taken away the cell phone. I've done this. And sometimes those things are effective. And then our kids will do because they want the external reward, right?
Right.
But the desire to want to do something for themselves is completely intrinsic. Okay. So you have done an amazing job teaching him the think, feel, do cycle, but I want you to remember that he hears you. He's just not ready to use it yet. Okay. All right. So let's go back to you. All right. Back to you. So you have a thought of, I made the decision to move up on this mountain, and that was a bad decision for him. That was a bad, I made that bad decision.
Right. I mean, there's that. And then with that in the same thought, moving to the mountain and being, I kept him safe.
Now see what you're doing here, Heather? That is Heather talking to me.
Right.
Heather is now rationally talking about that decision. Right?
Right.
But before, when I asked you, what were your thoughts about your choices being the reason that your son is doing what he's doing, what you gave me was, well, I chose to move us up on this mountain. That was a bad idea because it isolated him. But now Heather's telling me, now say what you were about to say.
I kept him safe from COVID.
Yes.
However, just like closing schools down, you know, in my mind, it's a side effect, not necessarily the cause, I guess.
Okay. So when you made the decision to move up on the mountain to keep him safe from COVID, did you make the best decision you could at the time?
It was an inevitable decision anyway. We were moving at the end of the school year.
Okay.
But we moved 2 months faster.
Okay. Okay. So you just sped up the move. Couple of months, but did you like your reasons at the time for making that decision?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So when you remind yourself, when you stay in the thought of, I made the best decision I could at the time with the knowledge that I had, you feel what?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. When you think the thought, well, I screwed that up. I shouldn't have done that. You feel?
It challenged.
Yeah.
I feel like my decision's being challenged.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, all of us are fantastic Monday night quarterbackers, are we not?
Right. Right.
I mean, if we all just had a crystal ball, right? But you made the best decision you could at the time. So how do we get over decisions that we make and judging them after the fact? How do we stop doing that? What was the process I just took you through?
Basically, the think, feel, do.
Yeah. I asked you, what is your shitty thought? And you told me, well, my choices led to this situation he's in. That was your shitty thought. We talked about how that made you feel, right?
Yep.
And then I didn't even ask you. You did it on your own. You told me the other truth, which was, no, that was the best decision. I was keeping him safe from COVID. That's why I did that.
Right.
That's it. Okay. Give me another one. Give me one more. Let's work on one more thought you have or having right now about this current situation with your son. What's causing you a lot of pain when you think about the situation he's in right now?
That I can't help. That I don't feel like I have tools in my toolbox to help him.
Okay. I do not have the tools that are necessary to help him. That makes you feel what?
Helpless.
Helpless. Okay, let's look at that thought. Heather, is that thought true that you don't have the tools to help him?
I know where to, I've tried to get resources. that I think can help him. And that's the tool that I've used.
Okay.
But I still think that there are things that he needs that I can't provide, or that might actually work.
Okay.
That I'm not helping the situation with what I'm doing.
Okay. So one of the tools that I see you already have that you're not getting yourself credit for is to recognize that he needs help from another resource besides you.
Right.
That's a tool that you have. Getting your son the help he needs outside of yourself and recognizing that I may not be the best person to provide this kind of support for my son is a tool that you possess.
It's, and probably all moms feel this way, but I feel like it's not enough.
Yeah. So there's another thought we can work on. It's not enough. Tell me what else is true about it not being enough.
That there can be bigger consequences that are outside my control.
Okay.
I mean, truancy is a real thing. They haven't said much about it, with knowing that he does have some mental health issues going on.
Okay.
I've also been told that there are a lot of other kids going through the same thing right now.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like there are some natural consequences that could happen that you haven't explored yet.
Right.
But let's go back to the thought before we jump off here. You being enough. It's not enough. Is it all that you have? Are you doing everything that you can as his mom to support and love him?
Probably not. But I don't know what. But I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Can you spend time writing down all the things that you're doing to support him? How much time do you spend thinking about that?
I do spend some time when I journal with it.
Okay.
But there's also been so much else I've been journaling on lately with my own,
mm-hmm.
my own stuff. And I guess there's a little bit of guilt there too. Yeah. With the balancing out my own mental health, yeah. with his. The big battle over fighting to go to school in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where I give up. I'm like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
For my own sanity, I can't continue that way.
Right. So you are supporting your own mental health and his at the same time. Do you see that that is enough? That is what you can do right now.
Right.
Yes. You can continue to research for outside support and help. If your brain was more focused on what else could I do to support my child versus this is my fault, and I don't know what to do, because remember that thoughts are like commands. So if you are telling your brain, I don't know what to do, your brain's going to be like, yeah, we don't know what to do. She doesn't want to look for solutions. But if we start saying to ourselves, maybe today I'm going to discover something that's going to be helpful. Maybe today I will uncover a skill that I have that I can share. Then those options become possible. So here's an assignment for you, Heather, okay? Are you in the Facebook subgroup, Parents of Kids Under 18?
I don't believe so.
Okay, even if you're in the main subgroup, I want you to tag me with your homework, okay?
Okay.
I want you to, number one, journal, make up, and if you're not a journaler, well, oh, you already said you were. I want you to make a list of all the thoughts that you currently have about your son's situation.
Okay.
Okay, because right now we need to see what they all are. We just uncovered two of them. it's my fault and I'm not doing enough. Okay. But there's others that you've already sort of alluded to. We need to get them out in the open so we can see them. So come up with your list of all the things, tag me on Facebook in it, and then let's work through them. And I bet you're going to have a bunch of people jump in and help you with what else you could tell yourself that is also true.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, my friend. Thank you for being one of the first ones to raise your hand.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Take care. Bye. Bye. All right. Who else would like to coach? I have some questions in. Jen, I saw your message about having the baby woke up. Okay, so I have a couple Q&A. So here we go. While other people are raising their hand, I'll ask answer Jen's question. I'd love to ask, how do others find the time and energy for self-care without mom guilt for ruining the alone time? Okay, so there's two questions there. Find the time and energy, okay, around self-care. I wrote that actually down as one of my things is, When you are doing self-care, you are already doing some self-care. You're just not describing it as self-care. This is like the quickest, easiest way to get in self-care without actually like, because a lot of the times you'll see on the Facebook group, like, take a bath, go for a walk, listen to a podcast, blah, 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 blah. And you can do all of those things. They're fantastic. Get creative about your self-care, right? But one of the things that you can do is look at your current day, exactly how it is without changing one thing. Look at your current day and look at what you're already doing that is self-care and start telling your brain right now, this is self-care. Things like, I brushed my teeth today. I know that sounds silly, right? But if you start telling your brain, oh man, I care about my dental health. I brushed my teeth today. That felt so good. I was just taking care of myself, right? So look at what you're already doing that is self-care. And then that will open your brain to finding more time, seeing where you can squeeze it in, okay, and get more health care or more self-care in. Oh, as far as the mom guilt ruining the alone time, that's a thought switch, girl. There is a thought that's causing the guilt, okay? So something like, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm selfish for spending time, you know, writing my plan or journaling my thoughts or taking this bath or whatever. You could also say things to yourself like, taking care of myself makes me be the best mom that I can be every day. I mean, I want you to think about that. How do you show up? Think about like if you ever had a period in your life where you were lucky enough to like get a break, right? And I don't even know, y'all, go to the grocery store without your children. That used to be a big thing for me. Go to the grocery store without my kids, right? It was like I had been let out of jail. So think about a time that you ever got to do that. If you got to go to the grocery store, think about how you felt when you come home. I mean, I don't know how y'all felt, but I would feel like so excited to see my kids again. Like I'd be like, oh, I missed you. Look what I bought you. We're going to have this, all of that kind of stuff, right? So when you are doing things like that, and then you come home and you show up like that versus never giving yourself a break, never getting any self-care, you're like, when the kid's like, mommy, can you play with me? Oh, okay. One more time, right? So self-care helps you be the best mom that you can be. So that's just a thought error. So the guilt is being caused by something you're thinking. Tell yourself something else. All right, let's see, Jacqueline. Let's see, I'm pulling you up. Here we go. Promote to panelist. I see some other questions in the Q&A, and I'll get to those if we have some time. Jacqueline's coming up. Hopefully we won't have internet issues with Jacqueline. Hey, Jacqueline, am I saying your name right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Okay, what are we touching on?
I have a few situations.
Okay.
My son is 15 and a half, and it was Wednesday night. He went to like a church youth group with a neighbor boy, and we expected him to be back. Like it started at 6:30. So it got later and later. And it's like, you know, we usually want him home or at least communicating what's going on at like 9 o'clock, and we hadn't heard anything. And it was like getting on to 9:30 and everything. And so I got on his iCloud account to see like what I could figure out if there was any communication. And well, I found some disturbing pictures that got uploaded to the cloud. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, delete all those. I don't want those on my kid's iCloud account. And then he has to turn in his phone every night. So I went through, made sure everything was deleted off his phone. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with them and I'm like, you cannot be doing those things because somebody's probably like catfishing you, you know? So, you know, I'm like, you know, I understand it's normal. Like those things are out there, you know? So I was like, okay, you know, we had this conversation. What I did was I just decided to get like a parenting app because okay. the iPhone stuff isn't working. So, so I downloaded that on his phone and I don't think he knows what it's capable of. And Friday night, he wanted to spend the night at the neighbor's house in the backyard camping. And it was like the neighbor boy and his friend. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, fine. You know, I told my husband, I was like, well, we have this app on his phone, you know, and I hadn't even told my husband what I found. So, I was like, it's fine. I downloaded this on his phone. Like, you know, he's locked down. He can't be getting on social media at all. So he went to the neighbor's house and I kind of like, I think it was a couple weeks before I thought they might've snuck out of our house when he was over here. Okay. Well, it was confirmed Friday night he snuck out, which was really scary because it allows me also to read his text messages and there's gunshots like two blocks from our house. Oh. And the cops actually stopped and questioned him. And this was like at 1:30 in the morning. And uh-huh. I was thinking, why aren't the cops taking my son home? Like, so I don't know.
So what's the problem?
Well, the thing is, it's like a new day and age where I am able to do those things for my son, mm-hmm. you know, and find those things out. But I haven't really told him that I know what happened. Like, I know that he snuck out. I can read his text. I can track him. You know, I didn't really know that all this was capable either, but I'm finding this out.
Okay.
And I guess a part of me is wondering if I should just leave it as it is. And he has to have natural consequences because up until now, mm-hmm. anything that I've done is not doing it.
Okay.
But then like, there's another fear of what if something really bad happens, you know, with all that. So it's causing me a lot of anxiety and like, I'm wanting to like put him in boarding school or something. Like I kind of,
but what
like,
specifically is causing you the anxiety? Is it his behaviors that are causing you anxiety or your thoughts about his behaviors that are causing your anxiety?
Well, yeah, it's my thoughts about how it's out of my control, I guess.
This like, is kind of like Heather. Yeah. This is kind of like Heather, right? Like, you know, at some point, and I will tell you guys that a lot of my coaching centers around this age where we start to transition from having like a lot of control over our kids. Like when they're little, we have a lot more control, right? And then there's this transitional period where we start having to consider letting those natural consequences kind of override what the, you know, what we do as parents. And that is very scary for us, right?
Yeah.
So is your anxiety coming from his behaviors? I know what your thoughts about his behaviors, or is it about the app?
Because
your question to me was like, I don't know if I should tell him that I know, or if I should just let it ride and just sit in my awareness.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more of a control thing because I mean, part of me is like, okay, if I tell him what's going on, he'll probably go get a burner phone. Like he's super smart. He's done everything like, mm-hmm. but he uses his smartness for this type of thing to sideline mm-hmm. any of my parenting.
So your child is very smart.
Yeah. He okay. just doesn't use it at school.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I have a feeling you're not alone in that department.
Yeah.
Okay. So your thought is if I tell him that I know about his behavior, then he'll just go get a burner phone.
Yeah. I feel like it's not going to stop it anyway. And I also like, you know, I kind of see two sides of it. Like this is kind of a violation of his privacy in a way.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess I always go back, like when I was a kid, I snuck out of the house, you know, who knows what could have happened. There's so many things that could have happened to me when I was a kid and it didn't happen. And I survived to tell about it.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, like, I don't know, I think, you know, social media and all the fear and we also live in a different area than I lived in. So it's a bigger area. And yeah. Like he went like two towns away. Like, you know, it's like 15 miles away, but it was like,
yeah,
the stuff I read about that, I'm like, I don't know. I suppose I did that at 15. So I know this is normal behavior.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this, Jacqueline, what kind of relationship do you want to have with your son?
That's a good question. I just want to be his mom. I don't want to be his master, like, you know, he's not my slave or anything like that.
You don't want to be the boss of him.
Yeah. Like I want him to be able to make good decisions, but I'm seeing he's not making good decisions because even before the sleep out, I was like, all right, you guys stay in the backyard. I don't want you sneaking out and I don't want people coming in. Mm-hmm. And here we go. They didn't listen.
Before the app, did you ask him, like after the sleepovers and stuff, would you say like, did you stay in the tent the whole time or did you sneak out? Did you ask him any of that stuff?
No, we did have a conversation about the shooting this morning and he's like, oh yeah, we heard it in the tent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, you weren't in the tent at the time of the shooting.
You said that?
No, but and like in my head, I said that to myself. So,
right. So now what's happening is now you're having thoughts that not only is he doing these behaviors, but now he's lying about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think you should do?
That's kind of what I've been wrestling with.
What are your options?
Well, my options are to tell him that I know everything and he's, you know, I'll know everything from now on.
If you did that, let's just put that in the circumstance line. I told son, I know about XYZ. Your thought now is what?
I think I'd still be anxious because
well, that's a feeling, but you'd be anxious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
So like the thought would be like, he's going to be doing this anyway.
Okay. So you have this, what's your son's name?
Zeke.
Zeke. Okay. So I told Zeke, I'm telling Zeke that I know about everything. And your thought is that's not going to make a difference. Your feeling is anxious. And then your do line is not tell him, right? If you're still going to, if you have the thought of it's not going to change anything and that's making you feel anxious, you're likely not going to do it. Correct.
Well, I think my do line would be, I'm going to get more paranoid and be following him everywhere. You know, I'm not going to be able to sleep because I'll be monitoring him all the time.
Okay. So, but now you can't put the milk back in the bottle, right? Because the other option is to not track him anymore, right? So you either tell him, don't tell him, or you could just not track, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you deleted all that tracking apps, what would that thinking be like?
Oh, I think he'd still be doing it.
Right. And you would still be worrying, right?
Yeah.
So the choice ultimately, Jacqueline, is really going to be up to you. You can only control the way you think about these things. Right? You are 100% correct that we have more technology now about our kids. I mean, like all of us when we were younger, thank God there was no Facebook and things like that, right? Instagram and those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
We know more things about our kids than we ever thought we would need to know. Mm-hmm. But when I asked you, what kind of relationship do you want to have with your son? Like, do you want to have the kind of relationship where he can tell you that you are a safe place for him to bring his mistakes to you?
Yeah, I think that would be nice. But I guess, you know, you saying that, I was like, well, that's not going to happen. That's what that thought comes in.
what would the relationship need to be if that was going to happen?
Well, I don't know, because I think he tells me things more often than he tells his dad, and like I can read him better. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when he doesn't want to tell me something, I already know the answer.
So it sounds like you kind of already have that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think it would be like? I'm just going to paint a scenario for you to ponder. Okay. And then I'll try to get one more question answered. What do you think it would look like if you said, "Hey Zeke, you'll never guess what I did. I downloaded these apps because I found these pictures and I just was so worried about you. Like, I just freaked out for a minute and I was like, oh my God, like, I don't even know what he's doing. I got to protect him and shield him. Like, I was like, holy crap, I don't want anything bad happening to you. And I just freaked out and I downloaded this stuff. And let me just tell you, I know that you snuck out the other night and now I have all this anxiety about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I'm so worried about you. Like, but I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to keep tracking you. I don't want to keep worrying about you. Why did you do those things?
Yeah.
Is there something I can help you with? Do you understand the dangers? I want you to be honest with me. I don't expect you to be perfect, right? But I want you to be honest with me and tell me when, hey, I just felt like going out and having a good time. Or who knows, maybe one of his friends suggested it and he had a hard time saying no. Like, this could be a really good opportunity for you to have that kind of relationship with Zeke that you want. But it's going to start with open, honest communication. And that has to do with this period of life that you're in with him right now. And all parents go through this. This transition to, I think somebody posted in the chat, natural consequences. Right? It's, you are not alone in this transition time from really being like the person that keeps him, things from happening to him, to allowing things to happen so he can learn on his own. And you are now just the soft place for him to land when that happens. So I want you to think about that. Think about what that would look like. I want you to really get into, and that was just a suggestion. I'm not saying you should do that or shouldn't do that. I asked the question, what kind of relationship do you want to have with Zeke? And if the answer is, I want to have an open, honest, like, I want to be, you said, I don't want to be his boss anymore. Like, I want him to make these decisions on his own. I want, so what would you, how could you influence that? And the answer might be to be open and honest with him.
Okay. That's true.
Because listen, all of this came from love, right? It's not like you're trying to be the drill sergeant. Right. You just are worried and you love him. Right?
Yep.
And nobody gave us a parenting book. If anybody knows where it is, let me know, because I didn't get one. Yep. We're figuring it out, right? We're figuring it out. So do some journaling on what kind of relationship you want to have with Zeke and how you can show up in the relationship with him in that manner.
Okay. Do you have any of like favorite parenting books that you suggest or anything like that?
I don't. That would be a great question to bring to the Facebook group if you're in it. I mean, I like most of my things when I had my private coaching business were around self-esteem and weight loss. And I have some books that I can recommend for that I'll pop into the Facebook group. But post that in the Facebook group and see if anyone has any great suggestions for that.
Okay.
Good. All right. Thanks for coming on. It was so nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right, guys, we have time for one more. If anybody would like some coaching, raise your hand. If not, I will answer these couple questions I have in the Q&A. Let's see. I have anonymous attendee. She says, I have 3 young kids, 3, 5, and 7. God love you. And it feels like my life is just happening to me. Yes. It feels like I'm always having to react to a tantrum or sibling fight that leaves me exhausted and just trying to survive. The day can simultaneously feel like it is never going to end, and yet there's not enough time. This leaves me feeling anxious and like the day-to-day activities lack joy. How can I better take control of the day while being a good parent and showing up for myself? Okay, this is a great, great question. 2 things. One is, I want you to remember that this is a season. You are in a season of life. Remember earlier when I said, remind your brain when your break is coming, even if it's not right away, even if it's several hours from now, right? So this is a season of life. It is going to feel like this sometimes, but the one of the quickest ways you can find relief right now, like starting in this moment, is to notice everything that I just read up there is all your thoughts. So even just knowing that, like when you're in the moment and your brain is like, oh my God, they're fighting again. Oh my God, will this day ever end? This is terrible. I'm exhausted. All of those things, those are just thoughts. So even if all you did is in that moment, you stopped and you said, well, I'm just thinking some negative shit today. Even if you just said that, there can be relief in that. So that's number one, figure out or remind yourself that those are just thoughts. Okay, step number two, the best advice I have for you is journal, journal, journal. In the morning, set an intention for the day. We used to do this thing in NoBS called the powerful question. I still love it, okay? And it was like where you gave your brain a job for the day. And so for you, what I would suggest, anonymous attendee with three young kids, 3, 5, and 7, is I would ask myself every day, how can I find joy today? Every day I would ask that question in the morning. How can I find joy today? And then at the end of the day, I want you to answer it. How did I find joy today? Because right now, your drama about all, I mean, you use such dramatic words too, always having to react to a tantrum. I'm 100% sure that's not true. Or a sibling fight that leaves you exhausted, just trying to survive. This is very inflammatory words. So start by taking that temperature down by setting an intention in the morning. Ask yourself every morning, how can I find joy today? And at the end of every day, I want you to answer it. How did I find joy today? Okay. All right. I hope that helps. All right. And then we have Kirsten. Who, Kirsten, I think you had your hand raised to be coached, but then you just typed in a Q&A. It's okay. Here's your question. My question is, when making my 24-hour plan, I consider what my 13 and 16-year-old boys will eat and also what my husband will eat. My thought every day is it's so hard to make something that everyone will eat. I love that you labeled that a thought. That's amazing. Because up until now, it sounds like you're doing that. It takes forever, dramatic, to finally decide and put something down. In the end of the day, they barely eat it anyway, so why bother? I want to feel ease around feeding my family. Suggestions. Okay, so ease is a feeling created by our thoughts, right? So you already have the feeling, or I'm sorry, you've already been planning, trying to take into account everybody's eating preferences. And then you have the thought, well, they don't eat it anyway. Right? So the truth of the matter is, if that's true, if they're not eating it anyway, you can come in with the thought of, this is what I'm preparing for dinner, and they will eat it or they won't. Take out all the drama from it. You decide what you are cooking for dinner or what you're planning, and they will eat it or they won't. It sounds like you're already doing that. So that is my best advice to you. Decide what you want to make for dinner. Do your best to incorporate people's likes and dislikes, and they'll eat it or they won't. The question is, what are you making it mean when they don't eat it? That is a question. Because it sounds to me like if they don't eat it, you're making it mean something about you. You didn't do a good job. You didn't prepare it the way they wanted, something like that. So that all starts with your thoughts. So does that thought make you have some ease? I am preparing this for dinner. They will eat it or they won't. It has nothing to do with me. So that is my best advice. All right, my friends, I see no other answers or no other questions in the Q&A. This was so fun. Thank you all so much for coming to this call. Pop in the Facebook group. If you're not already in the Facebook group, please consider joining parents with kids under 18. We are a small but mighty group. Lots of great suggestions and support in that group. So please consider joining if you are not. And I just thank y'all so much for being here. All right. Take care.